You are listening to episode 16 of the Paper Player Podcast. I'm your host, Tony, and I'm with Josh and no one else. Jeff is gone this week. He's actually baking JB into a pie. Josh, did you play any Magic this week?
Other than since the last podcast, I just played a couple games of my work league. But other than that, not really. I have not gotten any actual competitive Magic in.
Yeah, same here. I haven't been able to play since the 1K. I have been playing a little bit on Arena just because they do have a cube on there, a Tinkerer's cube, but that's just to kind of flex my magic brain muscle, if you will.
Right. Got it. Got to scratch the itch somehow. Not to say I haven't been involved in what's happening in Magic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're spoiler season. That is something that we're going to talk about. And we also, well, just because we're kind of light on topics this week, I kind of came up with a bunch of questions that I'm going to ask you. And I have one actually before we get into the topics. But before all of that, I want to promote our Discord. We started a Discord to kind of interact with our community because emails are kind of archaic if you think about it. And a lot of people think of email as a work-related thing, but Discord's pop. It's new, popping, and it's anti-boomer. And so that one's for you, Jeff, if you're listening.
Or Antonio.
Yeah, or, well, he is an actual boomer. So yeah, I'll put that in the show notes, how to get to our Discord, and as well as our Facebook page has it now, and it's actually pinned up there. So if you have any interest, you can also visit us on Facebook and you'll be able to find that Discord, but it will be in the show notes.
Also, just feel free to like message us on socials.
That too, that works. All that stuff is great. I mean, I always want to find a way to connect to either our audience or just the MTG community as general. So the question I actually have, and we were talking a little bit before the podcast, and I was thinking about it. Do you think it would be possible? Well, not possible, but do you think the community would be okay if they printed an exactly one copy of Black Lotus with new art and put it into like a pack Willy Wonka style where it was like this great chase to find it?
Printed a new one? I think people
one copy.
I think people would be upset. I think if they bought like a Black Lotus and put it in a pack, I think that would go fine.
Well, they did that a long time ago with that Zendikar Hunt. It's not actually adding any new ones into circulation.
Right. If they printed one, I think it would make a lot of people upset. I don't think they would just do one. If they're going to do that, they're going to go all out, right?
Well, I mean, if you're going to break the contract, break the contract.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if they would. It's hard to say.
It is very hard to say. I don't know if they need to. I think they can. I think it's possible that they can get around it with the Universes Beyond stuff. Like when we saw that there was a image floating around of the secret lair Fortnite, and it was all like the towns from Fortnite, but they were the dual lands, but or whatever. They just didn't have the name. We could see something like that. I 100% think we could see something like that.
I don't know if you would make people even angrier if it was Fortnite related. Maybe if it was something like Street Fighter, because I think that was well received. The Street Fighter, nobody cared about. Well, I shouldn't say nobody, but a lot of people who are in kind of overall gaming community have some affinity for Street Fighter just because it's kind of an old game as well, too. I think that the game, the original one was like from 85, and then the Street Fighter 2 was either like 1991 and past that, or maybe in arcades before that. But that game is like heavily beloved, and it's like the same time as Magic was around, there were still arcade cabinets that people rocked as well.
Way to do it with the least consequences would be like a Universes Beyond D&D, where you could do just the dual lands with the D&D places.
Yeah, something like that. Whatever popular things that are well known in the D&D universe.
Right, and I'm sure it would be very easy to do. You would upset people for sure, but I feel like that is a way they could do it. And I feel like that will happen in the future. Not in the immediate future, but I definitely feel like this Universes Beyond is going to test the waters in a lot of ways to see what they can and can't print.
Even if we get something that's like almost functionally reprinted, but not as the same.
Right.
I mean, we're going to be getting the next set of Trilands. They have a lot of broken land cycles that aren't completed. And I think they know which ones are beloved. Like, for example, like the Triomes, I think those ones are huge. And
those in the new Capenna, right?
Did they announce that?
The new Capenna is shards.
Oh, it is. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Gangster shards.
Man, right? Dude, I'm so excited for that set.
It's going to be dope. What do we got here? So, and we also got a banner restricted announcement for the format Pauper. And those two cards are Chatterstorm, which everybody saw coming, and was a Venser's Companion, Sojourner.
Sojourner's Companion.
Oh, sorry. I don't know why I thought, I'm thinking of Venser the Sojourner, but Sojourner's Companion, yeah. That's just a copy of Mirror Enforcer with some flavor text on it.
With artifact land cycling for two.
Yeah. They just felt that the affinity deck was too strong, having multiple Mirror Enforcers for free. Like, you had Frogmite Mirror Enforcer and Mirror Enforcers 5 through 8, which were already your heavy hitters at the end of that deck.
It definitely closes the game out quick.
Yeah. Just putting a bunch of 4/4s on the table for zero mana.
Right. Very obnoxious.
And just like every other Storm card they've had to ban, it's always just been... Anything that has Storm in that format that's at common, which, to be honest, everything that Storm printed forward should just be uncommon, so we don't have to deal with this every single time. Just get rid of that Storm mechanic completely out of Pauper, just because there's just so many cards that just ruin it.
Right. And they did put a warning on the other Storm card that is in Pauper, the red one.
Is it the 5-mana one?
Galvanic. No, it's the 3-mana red one that lets you exile the top card of your library and you can cast it until next turn.
Sure, got it.
They did put a warning on that.
Yeah, it's Pauper. It's supposed to be low power level, and a lot of the rituals that they've printed in the past, Dark Writ, you know, all the piratic rituals. I don't know if all of them were legal in Pauper, but all the rituals have come at common, and being able to generate such a big amount of mana is just, it's not fun for that gameplay. I mean, yes, you can counter it, but that format's not supposed to be about that.
Even when there was that Storm card that just ramp put lands onto the battlefield, they made a Storm deck that ended up having to get banned. The just Storm mechanic is not meant for Pauper.
Just able to utilize the tools too well, such as, I think Pauper still allows Brainstorm and Ponders to exist in Preordained. Yep. So all those really strong blue cards, and those power levels of those blue cards don't feel as bad because your top end is some random common that's not strong. Like, they don't even have Seer Angel that exists in that format, and not that that would be the good card, but I'm just thinking all the busted cards in common aren't like ramping into something that's, you know, 4/4. I mean, oh, what is it, Ulamog's Crusher is like the biggest card you can go into, right?
Fangren Marauder too is like that 5/5 that you sack whenever you sack an artifact, you gain 5 life.
Yeah. All those cards.
I mean, it's been ages since I've played Pauper. I used to play Pauper a lot back 6 years ago. I had like a whole Pauper gauntlet of decks, but it's been a while. The format's like deviated too much, but
you still got your Tron decks, you have your Delver variants, you still have some form of affinity that exists, and then there's a couple of weird like red white decks that are somewhat artifact based, and then you do have a few cards that have Monarch in there, which probably shouldn't be allowed, but so be it.
I still have my mono black control deck. That was my favorite.
With the Kumbaja witches or whatever?
Yep, and the Chittering Rats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you have Grey Merchant still in there?
Uh-huh. That's like how you win. And the other one, does damage equal to the number of swamps you control.
Oh, Tendrils of Corruption? Or is it the X-Spell Consumed Spirit?
It's Tendrils of Corruption. Yeah. There's another one that's like Tendrils of Corruption, too.
It's like 6 mana. It's just corrupt. That's the one.
That's it.
That's the banger.
I also had like there's all kinds of fun Pauper decks. There's like I had a Pestilence deck too that was pretty good.
Yep. Honestly, Pauper's like a fun format, and the beauty of that format is as of right now there are no Planeswalkers that exist at the common level, and feels like an older version of it. Really feels like pre-modern Magic. You have cards that are powerful that have been printed in the new age, but they're still not as strong as like Ponder or Brainstorm.
I hope they don't print common Planeswalkers.
Well, if they do, they would just be like enchantments, right? Because the whole purpose was like the Mythic Planeswalkers have 3 or more abilities. Rare has 2 abilities plus a static effect. Uncommon ones have a static effect plus a minus, so they have no ability to plus, and then a common one would just be like a static effect. It's basically just an enchantment.
Right.
If they were to go that route, but what would a common Planeswalker even have to look like?
I don't want to know. Let's not give them ideas.
Yeah, forget it. So, yeah, enough about Pauper. Let's get into some spoilers. We do have a lot of spoilers coming at us, and I believe this Friday we should get all of it, because the following week is pre-release week.
Wow, that's fast.
Dude, things are just coming at lightning.
I haven't ordered my boxes yet.
Well, you might want to get on that, because people are actually liking this set, and there are a few cards that they kind of have done well, and they finally made a good Werewolf Commander. I don't have that one in our spoilers that we're going to go over, but it does interact with old werewolves.
I'm going to have to look at it now.
Yeah, it has the Daybound and Nightbound mechanic, but it says on the front side, when it becomes night or whatever, transform all werewolves and wolves that you control. It doesn't say like they have to have that mechanic. So worked with old ones.
Well, that's cool. That's forethought.
It is. I think they wanted people, because the last time they made a legendary werewolf commander, it was like that 5-mana card that kind of stunk. It didn't really do anything for your werewolves. And this one is just like anthem effect for your wolves and werewolves. And then it obviously has a transform. So when it transforms, everything else transforms with it.
Right. That's clever.
Yeah. I'm glad they did that, because I think people really wanted something that would interact with their, you know, if people have made werewolf EDHs and then you get a bunch of werewolves that don't interact with them, that would just feel bad.
It just slaps Toski's text on it.
Mm-hmm. Also, I forgot, or Edric, or whatever you want to call it.
Right. That we're going to do that for the rest of eternity, is just slap Toski's text on any commander that they want to push.
Not blue ones. Blue already has all the draw.
Right. But anything that they want to push, like werewolves, they're gonna give you a deal damage, draw card.
All right, man, so let's get into some cards. The one of the ones I picked out, I selected all these. I think these are things that could be impactful, but we don't have the complete spoiler yet, so I'm sure there's gonna be a card along comes across that I don't see like being modern or legacy playable, that's just gonna completely break the format. Well, I guess Consider is already that card, right?
Right, that card is really good. I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, so the first one is gonna be Kiltilda, Dawnheart Headwitch. So this is a green-white legendary creature, human warlock. It's got protection from werewolves, so your anti-werewolves in your werewolf set. And then human creatures you control have tap, add one mana of any of this creature's color. So if it's a white creature like Thalia, it can only tap for white. And if it's a multicolor creature like Mantis Rider, it can tap for Jeskai. Or not all of it doesn't add all that mana, but one of any of those Jeskai colors. And then it has a final ability of 4 green-white, and tap it. Put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control. So it's not just humans, it's all creatures you control. There might be a translation error on that, but I'm assuming it's each creature you control.
Oh, that's a very spicy card. I'm sure it'll find a home somewhere.
I was thinking in my head initially that it could be good for maybe modern humans, because it allows all your humans that aren't able to attack, pump in to do some form of, you know, just to build your team, but it probably doesn't exist there. And if anybody was looking for like a green white humans, you know, legendary creature, which they already have a bunch, this is like the best one, probably.
Probably. Like, it's got EDH written all over it. Like, yeah. To give all your humans cryptolith right is pretty good.
With all the EDH, this is a kind of a side question. With all the EDH decks that you've like played or built, do you have any that still have like those expensive commanders at like 6 and 7 mana? I've gone like way away from that. Like even Chulainn, I used to have built. He's not, because I hate spending 5 mana on my commander for it to get countered, because 7's just like impossible.
I have Gitrog at 5.
Yeah.
That's it. Urlok at 4, Purphoros at 4, and then Yuriko's at 2.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why they printed that, what is it, the Jeweled Lotus, so you can, all the commanders that were not the partner commanders could compete again.
Right.
But then,
I hate that card.
Yeah, it's not great, but I just remember so many different games. If I didn't like have Cavern of Souls for my Chulainn, and I've tried like 6 mana like a Tali, once those things get countered, it's like, well, I guess I'm not casting this for the rest of the game. And then your deck doesn't, the whole point of like most commander decks is it's themed around your commander, and when they just get countered, it's one thing if they come into play and they die. It's another thing when they just get countered, you're like, oh, I didn't get any value from this.
Right. I had to like fundamentally change my Gitrog deck to like get around that and play like the Savage Summoning and stuff.
Yeah, Veil of Summer and what you name it.
Mm-hmm.
Autumn's Veil. I'm sure there's a bunch of them.
Yep, play them all.
Yeah, back on track with the spoilers. The next card that I wanted to talk about was Sacred Fire. It's kind of baby Lightning Helix, but it does have flashback, but it's red white. Deal 2 damage you gain to any target, you gain 2 life, and then flashback 4 for red and a white. I don't know if this card's playable in anything outside of Pioneer.
Yeah, and you know, and I mean, it'll probably see some standard life. If all the Strixhaven Boros cards were pretty good, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, when I say Pioneer, I mean like Pioneer and up. So anything that's above that where you can see it.
Someone will try it in Modern.
Yeah, 6 mana is a lot for the flashback. Like, that's just not realistic.
That's true.
I mean, it's probably
what about, I guess, in like, if you're playing like a Jeskai deck, you're not playing this.
No, exactly. Like, you want Lightning Helix because 3 and 3 is just so much more powerful and doesn't hit like Dragon Rage Channeler, which is a little bit problematic.
Pioneer probably. I don't know what Burn looks like in Pioneer, but maybe.
It's mono red right now. So getting that in there would be okay, but you would add Boros Charm. Oh, and by the way, they did put Delver And now that we're going to, that there's a reprint of Delver in this set, so you're going to be able to play Delver in both Pioneer and Historic.
Is Delver even good anymore?
Yeah, it wasn't good when, it was barely good when it was in Standard, but then when Preordain like rotated out, it was unplayable.
I don't think it's good, right? I don't think Delver's good anymore.
Only not good because they just printed better Delvers.
Right.
Yeah, it was probably never good. It was never good in Modern because you didn't have Brainstorm to flip it, like be able to upkeep, make sure that you flip your Delver. But I don't think there's anything that exists in Pioneer that's powerful enough to get the draw triggers or anything that would allow you to do that.
Definitely a word to be said, but I don't think it's, I don't think it's a, has, carries as much baggage as we all think it will.
So the next card's probably going to be one of the Chase EDH cards from the set, and it could be good in other formats. I just don't know where it would be good as of right now. But it's called Siphon Insight. It's blue-black for an instant. Look at the top two cards of target opponent's library. Exile one of them face down, and you may put the other one on the bottom of their, that library. Is it a may effect? No, it's, you have to. Okay. And then you may look at that card and play it, play the exiled card for as long as that card remains exiled, and you may spend mana as though it was any color. So they've been doing that a lot with like blue-black cards where you don't, they're not color-restricted. They kind of become like colorless cards. That way, if you're a black-blue deck playing against a green-white deck, you can't, like, you don't have the ability, or you're not unable to cast your cards.
Right.
And then it does have flashback for one blue and a black.
I, like, love this stuff, but I also hate it. Like, don't beat me with my own cards. I'm just gonna scoop.
Yeah, I think this is to like punish all the vamp tutors, because I mean EDH, one of the,
I said, oh, it's an instant when you,
yeah, it's an instant
combating the tutors.
Yeah, I think one of the downsides to like, I guess CDH is all just tutors because you just need the hyper consistency, but when you kind of go down from that CDH level, you get people that are still playing tutors and then their deck's too consistent. I think that ruins like the idea or the fun of EDH. And this card is like, well, you can put this in any of your blue-black or Esper whatever decks and just punish those people that want to be cutthroat. You're like, okay, well, that's my card now.
Dimir player fun, please.
Yeah, no kidding. It is interesting that you can play that card, so you're able to play lands off this. They usually have just that cast clause.
Yeah, don't play my land. Ugh. I needed that.
Yeah. Will this see Legacy play? It's probably unlikely because there's just not a lot of tutor, and maybe if you were trying to hide something with your Brainstorm, you could take it, but usually you're getting rid of the worst cards in your hand from Brainstorm.
If Opposition Agent isn't seeing Legacy play, I don't think this will.
So the next card is Hungry for More, and this is it reminds me of a lot of Hellspark Elemental, but it's red and a black, and it's a sorcery. Create a 3/1 black and red vampire creature token with trample, lifelink, and haste, and then you sack it at the beginning of the end step, and then for one red and a black, it has flashback to redo that effect. I think this card has potential to change how Modern Burn looks.
It's definitely spicy, and like you get Bump in the Night from the last Innistrad, or first Innistrad.
Yep.
I think you got something going. I think you got legs.
Yeah, I think if you just get away from like the Goblin Guide variants and go into like the prowess where it's Soulscar, Swift Spear, Goblin Guide, or not, sorry, not Goblin Guide, Raghavan and Dragon Rage Channeler, those 15 cards plus this, cause that helps your prowess triggers, and then Bump of the Night too, so you don't have to play cards like, what is it called? Rift Bolt. I think I hate that card. I've ever played Burn, it's always been just horrendous. Play this. I have a list in my head of like 42 cards that I would play, and it's a Lurrus deck, so I think this fits in well. Plus, this does something that like Hellspark Elemental couldn't do, where you casted Hellspark Elemental and it attacked, and then it had to go to the grave. You know, it went to the graveyard, and then you could cast it again on your next turn. This has the ability when you have 5 mana, you can make 2 Hellsparks.
Ooh,
it's way different than on Earth.
Wow, that's spicy.
It's like niche, but yeah.
Aren't there aggressive low cost vampires too? Can you make a tribal deck with this?
You could go into that direction. I mean, you would. The only aggressive ones that I can think of off the top of my head are Reckless the red Wraith. One. Well, that's a werewolf.
It is a werewolf. Duh.
It's the Strongkirk Noble, and I don't know if there's any other ones that I can think of off the top of my head.
Strongkirk Noble. That was the one I was thinking about before. I don't even remember what it does.
Pro humans, and every time it deals a damage, it gets a 1/1 counter. So it's a 1/1, then a 2/2, then a 3/3, then a 4/4. It usually just got out of hand quickly, but it was slightly playable in that format.
Right.
So this is the big card that I think is the most controversial. There is usually most Teferis that they've printed have been really, really good. The last one wasn't, but this is a Teferi who slows the sunset. I'm going to give this the worst name of the year. Okay. This is the worst name I've ever seen for a card.
Right.
It's two blue and a white. So Legendary Planeswalker, Teferi, comes in with 4 loyalty. Its +1 is choose up to 1 target artifact, up to 1 target creature, and up to 1 target land. Untap those chosen permanents you control, and then tap the chosen permanents you don't control, and you gain 2 life. -2, look at the top 3 cards of your library, put 1 of them into your hand, and the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. And then -7, which is probably going to be the EDH like reason that you play this, you get an emblem with untap all your permanents you control during each opponent's untap step, and you draw cards during each opponent's draw step.
I think a lot of people got excited about this card thinking it sticky tapped your opponent's stuff, but it doesn't. Yep.
This is not going to see modern play. It's definitely not going to see legacy play. This is obviously an EDH bomb. Like, I think this card's awesome in EDH.
It also, like, with Unholy Heat running around, planeswalkers are bad.
Yeah, they're at like an all-time low right now. So is Unholy Heat in Historic? I think it is.
Yep.
So yeah, I think planeswalkers have whatever planeswalker decks that it did exist at some point in Historic are probably now gone, especially because you don't have good ways to combat cards like Unholy Heat.
But now that Unholy Heat exists, are planeswalkers going to get even more worse? Like, aggressive, are we going to see Oko 2.0 where planeswalkers cost 3 mana and come back in at 6 loyalty or whatever? 7 loyalty, because Unholy Heat does 6. We're going to get the 3 mana, 7 loyalty. I guess that's Karn, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, people still turn 3, drop a 7 mana Karn in Modern, and that gets the job done still to this day.
But I agree, this Teferi is a trap. Don't play it.
Yeah, I think they focus their planeswalkers to be standard good, and that's about it. And that's where their power level really should be, because you want them to shine in your premier format, but you don't need them to be so dominant where they're just able to compete with cards like Lightning Bolt or Brainstorm, for that matter.
Right, I agree with that. Yeah, it's got kind of sickening to see like all the stuff that immediately was Legacy playable. Like, Legacy shouldn't be changing like that.
No, I mean, War of the Spark introduced 2 of the most dominant we've ever seen, which was 3 mana Teferi and Narset, which completely hosed that format. And then
now they print Narset cards on every other set, though. Like, I don't think we're going to stop seeing the, if your opponent draws a card, I get the steals some effect or whatever.
Yeah, for sure, man. I think this Teferi is good. There is a mind game that I don't think people realize at first. So the sticky tap is like one of the things that people want it to have, but it doesn't have. But in like control mirrors for like standard, you're going to be able to, if you resolve this card, it's going to win you the game, and your opponent's not going to know it right away, just because they're going to constantly plan to have counter magic up or some way to have it up, and then you're going to be like, all right, tap your land, go to the second main phase. That land's gone now.
Right.
And you get to untap your stuff for whatever that's worth, if need be. So I've done a bunch of reading, Josh. Go ahead and read the card that you wanted to talk about. Was it Rem? I can't even. It's Carlo. Rem Carlos.
Ren Carolus?
Yeah, Carolus.
Stalwart Slayer. He is a legendary creature, human knight, 2/3, flying haste. If a spell would deal damage to you or another permanent you control, prevent that damage. If a spell would deal damage to an opponent or a permanent an opponent controls, it deals that much damage +1 instead. I like this card. I think it looks worse than it is. It does die to everything.
Yeah, I mean, I hate that argument. Just throw that in the trash. Everybody says that about everything now.
Right. I get, and red is all over the place, but it definitely, I think there's a, I think with cards like Char and Flame Rift, I think you got some likes with this guy.
Yeah. In my head, I didn't realize this card had haste. It's a lot better than I thought it was. Like, I thought it was just a 2/3 flyer. All the other text is kind of like confusing. Not confusing, but there's a lot of words on it. I just didn't realize it had haste either.
I thought at first I could gut shot for free, but yeah, you can't do that.
I mean, the cards, it's like you said, with Flame Rift dealing 5, Char's dealing 5. That's pretty serious. So I wonder if there could be just like a straight red-white burn deck that's not so focused on just like kill you. It's more focused on resolving kind of the larger aspects of burn spells, where like
resolving a few haymakers.
Yeah, where it's like, I'm gonna deal 2 with this, hit you for 5, you know, deal another 5, and then just kind of go from there.
Right. I think you can, even then, like a gut shot, you turns into a shock. I like the incremental 1 damage, like, closes out games.
Yeah, it does, for sure. I guess it does turn shocks into bolts. So guess what, guys? You get to play. Well, how many shock variants are there? You can play 16 shocks in Pioneer. Well, guess what? You just got 16 bolts.
You can play bone, makes your bone crusher better.
Yeah, 3 damage from that too. Dang.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I mean, this card's probably great. I don't know if it sees play, but I like it. And maybe this was built for EDH burn, if that was a thing.
There's a member of this podcast that has definitely tried that.
It's usually not possible. Trying to produce 120 damage of burn is really difficult.
He's done it, though. He has won games with that deck. He's lost a bunch, but he's won some, too.
Is it like a Comet Storm deck?
No, he was playing, like, or how is he doing it? It's not Comet Storm. It's the one from Modern Horizons 1, the enchantment that you put counters on every time.
Arid Flame or Aria Flame?
Yeah, that card.
Where you get verse counters. That's probably the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. All right. Go ahead and read us Moonveil Regent. I think this card's a sleeper.
I agree. Moonveil Regent. 3 and a red for a 4/4 dragon creature. Flying. Whenever you cast a spell, you may discard your hand. If you do, draw a card for each of that spell's colors. When Moonveil Regent dies, it deals X damage to any target, or X is the number of colors amongst permanents you control. I like this card. Dragons are good right now.
Yeah, I think this card, well, it's probably going to be huge in Standard because you're going to be able to play this along with Goldspan Dragon.
And you'll be,
yeah. I think the biggest thing, and this, I'm trying to figure out a way to break this card, and the cards that come to mind are Wild Cantor and Manamorphose.
The card that comes to my mind with this is Experimental Frenzy, because it turns all your top decks into, all your top decks say draw a card.
Yeah, they do. I didn't even think about that either. Wow. I think this card's got some legs. I don't know where it is, but with Manamorphose, this is the dream scenario, and this is the best case. If you have only Manamorphose in your hand, you play it, you Ancestral.
Right.
And you get Ancestral for essentially zero mana, because you get to float too.
Oh my gosh.
And then Wild Cantor does the same thing, but you don't get the extra card, but you can play Wild Cantor, discard your hand, draw 2 for Wild Cantor. Hold on, I gotta read this again. For each of that spell's color. Yeah, so Wild Cantor, and then you can sack it to add a mana to kind of replace itself. So I wonder if there's a way to just like turbo mill yourself into like a Thassa's Oracle with like Manamorphose, Wild Cantor, Burning Tree Emissary, those style of cards.
I'm sure you can do something. There's got to be something. I didn't even think of that. This card, definitely, it's got some thinking to it. And the artwork is out of this world. I love the stained glass wings on the dragon.
Yeah, it's really cool. Also, it's just a 4-mana 4/4 flying, so that's also real, too.
Right. Even that's what I was just about to say, is that Experimental Frenzy saw play at 4-mana, and this is Experimental Frenzy as a 4/4 flying dragon. So I don't think... I think it will see play.
Yeah, I'm going to try to build that deck. It probably doesn't have any legs, but just something where you just like get this guy into play and then just try to churn through your deck. But every card in your deck has to draw 2 to 3. It probably fizzles. Yeah. Is there any 3-mana cards? Like the only 3-mana cards that are at 2-mana are the ones from, what's that set? Charge of Alara, or Alara Reborn with like Naya Hushblade and all those cards.
Oh, right. And like
Grixis Grimblade, Banshee Blade, all the blades. And there's a couple other cards that were like a green and then hybrid for something else.
What about like the border post?
Yeah, the border post. I guess those are like free.
I don't know how those work. It's been a while since I've looked at those cards.
You get to cast them. They come in. You cast them. Do you cast them for 0? I really don't remember. We haven't seen those, the anime color version of those. You know what? If the internet hasn't broke this card yet, it's probably not broke.
I'm sure there's someone brewing with it.
Yeah, it might be one of those sleeper cards, just because there's a way. If you're in like top deck mode, it doesn't go well into burn because, you know, playing a card to then draw a card is not the greatest.
Right.
Especially with the cost of discarding your hand, but you'd have to be okay with like discarding your hand multiple times. I'm just thinking of all like I said, Manamorphose, Brain Tree Emissary, and Wild Cantor. I'm sure there's other versions of that card that I'm not thinking of.
At the very least, it is an EDH All-Star.
Yeah, dude, that card. This card's a bomb.
How long before our EDH decks are cards from strictly 2019 forward.
That's pretty hard, man. It's like they haven't printed Sylvan Library in one of those sets yet. Like there's just too many good old cards still that are. I couldn't imagine a world where your green deck couldn't fit a Sylvan Library or a Carpet of Flowers or whatever. There just can't be a world that's true yet, or even Force of Will or what have you. But yeah, there you could probably get there. I'm sure at one point there'll be a format where it's just 2018 and up, whatever you want to call it.
Magic.
Yeah, you got it.
Commander.
All right, man. Next card is Lear, I think her name is. Disciple of the Drowned. This card's probably, I know we keep saying EDH, this is going to probably be awesome in EDH, but this card could bring Storm back to life in Modern. And I know it's you can remove it, but it's 3 blue-blue for legendary creature, human wizard. Can't be countered. Ta-da. And then each instant or sorcery card in your graveyard has flashback. The flashback cost is equal to that card's mana cost. So this is essentially does what Passing Flame does, but it also gives Passing Flame effects to cards that you put after as well. So like Passing Flames is like only the cards that were in there and any new cards that entered don't get that effect. But this, and it also it has the same cost of what Passing Flames cost flashback. Everyone thinking
pimped out Kess deck is in shambles right now.
Yeah. It's going to definitely, I mean, it's going to be huge in EDH. It's not just like non-creature spells, it's spells can't be countered. So it's already really powerful right there. And then being able to just rebuy everything for its flashback cost.
It's such a weird card. Because I like it, because you can't counter anything either.
Oh, yeah, I didn't realize that.
So, like, what? Yeah, I guess you're just, like, time warping a bunch of times, but...
Yeah, and you can flash it back, too. I mean, a lot of the time warp effects they make now all exile themselves.
Right.
I'm just thinking in my head, does this exist in Modern for Storm decks, for bad Storm players that don't know how to use Pass and Flames?
I don't know. I'm sure something will happen. This card's got busted things written on it, so...
Could this be... In like a Storm version where you reanimate it in Legacy, like you go like put this in your graveyard, reanimate it, and just build like a Storm deck around that.
Off reanimating things.
Well, you just reanimate that. That would be your only target. The rest of it would be like a 52 card Storm Shell plus. Well, I guess this doesn't bring back Lotuses. Never mind. Or
only
Lotus Petals. Yeah.
Only instants and sorceries.
All right, this card's probably not good enough for Legacy. I could see play in Modern, but probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's a creature and you don't want to activate your opponent's removal. All right, man. This is the last card. You take it.
Augur of Autumn. 1 green green for a 2/3 human druid creature. You may look at the top card of your library at any time. You may play lands from the top of your library at any time. And then it has Coven. As long as you control 3 or more creatures with different powers, you may cast creature spells from the top of your library. So it's a new take on Courser of Kruphix almost.
Yeah, it's different. I think they're going away from revealing the top card of your library effects into just looking at the top card.
I approve of that.
Yeah, I hated when... I mean, I played Courser heavily in that standard format with Siege Rhino, and I really didn't like always revealing the thing. I mean... If it's just a land card. Yeah, that too. It's like your opponent's constantly writing all your things down. Yeah, it's another EDH staple. This is, I don't know if people play Courser. I know 100% Oracle Mul'Dagg gets played in Azusa. And this card kind of goes along with that. And it has that random upside of if you do control things with different power, you can start playing creatures too.
The topic of writing things down, that is like my least favorite thing in Magic. Even like I hate it. I won't do it, and I hate when my opponents do it too, because it's like I don't want to sit here while you're writing things down. So I always just play revealed. Like when I get Thoughtseize or whatever, it's like I'll play revealed, and they're like, "I'll write it down anyway." But like I just can't stand it. I get that you deserve to have the information, but like it's definitely just a time sink.
From an FNM level, I will always just play revealed. If it's anything higher than that, I will write. I will do what you just said. I'll write the cards down, and if my opponent wants to write them down, that's fine. But I won't play revealed. But when I write it down, I've gotten really good with like shortcuts. Like you just write TH for Thoughtseize. You don't have to like when people like actually write out all the cards. Like, dude, these things have like, for example, if someone had to write out Teferi who slows the sunset, that just takes forever to write.
Yeah,
you know, like just so many goddamn words. And that's it for spoilers, man.
I like this Edge of Autumn. I think Corsair for Grufix soft play. This has it definitely has like a three bud, so like it's on the killable side of things, but
Yeah.
it's definitely and it's got like the Vivian play creatures off the top thing. I'm sure it'll see play. I think this is the one card with Coven that will see any kind of competitive play.
Sure. It's also, I forgot that it's also human too, so I could get played in humans, I guess.
Why do they just staple human on everything?
I don't know. It's like the most common, it has to be the most common creature type by now, right?
It is no, it is, and it's not even like close. It's like last I checked, there was like 1,400 humans, and then like the next closest thing was like 700 something, like beasts.
Beasts and probably elves. Well, maybe not even elves. Oh, who knows?
Right. It was like not even close. Humans was the number one thing.
And that all started with the original Innistrad, because before Innistrad's cards weren't considered human. Like if you were to like look at Mother of Ruins, it's now a human cleric, but the old
Right.
version is just cleric.
Right, the giant creature type retcon.
Yeah, that's probably what ruined it. Boo. Yeah, there's just too many. Like you said, there's too many of them, and it's kind of obnoxious. Where was Zendikar the first time they did? Well, no, never mind. Take that back. Sanger Vampire was always a vampire. I assume.
Right.
All right, man, I got some questions for you. This is more for multiple people in the cast, but however the other people are getting baked into a pie or baking the pie, whichever one you want to call it. So I'm just going to read off the list of them and kind of hear your answers about them. The first one was that one that we had from last week. Do you remember what the question was? It was if you could take any commander to a heads-up commander 1K, what commander would you choose?
Oh, since it's like heads up 1v1, I would probably pick Yuriko because then I get the
Oh, the ninjutsu stuff.
yeah, I get the ninjutsu stuff, which is hard to interact with, and then I get the counter suite. But if it was like a four player thing, I would probably take Gitarag Monster because not everyone's respecting the graveyard.
Oh no, not for sure. Especially with a four player one, there's a lot more politics and all.
Right.
You're not gonna like my answer. I thought about it, and it's gotta be Roggevon. Just always guaranteeing turn one Roggevon.
I
It's
didn't
gotta
even
be the
think
one.
about that. I wonder what a competitive Ragavan deck looks like.
It's got to be insane for heads up. I'm sure. I know Magic Online, they ban like cards like Baral because they're too good. Ragavan's got to be in that same camp.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
I
that's the one I
didn't.
would take. Next question. Have you ever played Pauper? And if yeah, what decks have you played?
I played a lot of Pauper. We mentioned that earlier. My favorite deck was a Reanimator deck with you would reanimate like an Ulamog's Crusher with the Dragon's Breath. It's like an enchantment that when a creature comes into play, you can return the enchantment from your graveyard and attach it, and it gives it haste.
Yeah.
And then you get all the cool like Grisly Salvage, Stinkweed Imp, and Satyr Wayfinder, my boy.
That's dope, man.
I liked that deck, and it was Jund. I said, I think I still have that one too, because I couldn't get rid of that one.
Yeah. Couldn't get rid of it. What do you mean? Like
Right.
people are really fighting for you, or not fighting, you want these comics. I guess if you pimp it out, they can get expensive.
Right. I traded like a pimped out, I traded an entirely foiled Delver deck for a lot of the Tron pieces I had for the original Tron deck. I traded it for like my original Tron deck. I had like two, I traded it for like two Ugins back before they got reprinted and stuff like that. I traded a
Sure.
bunch of Pauper because I had like eight Pauper decks and I was like, I don't play this anymore. And I traded a bunch of them away. So,
Yeah, exactly. It's like a fun idea because you're like, I can probably build every top tier competitive deck for $500 and under if you're not trying to pimp them all out, and maybe 500 is even a stretch.
right.
But you can definitely you could make a gauntlet if you wanted to.
And it costs more for the sleeves almost to get your gauntlet together than it did to get all the decks.
Yeah, and then you end up playing with people who have never played Pauper, and if they're not well versed in Pauper, it's actually not that fun. Yeah, I only played Mono Black, and I played that a ton on Magic Online because it was like the first time, I was playing a lot of Magic Online other than like the other constructed formats. So when I was bored, I would play Pauper, and then I built like a blue red deck on there as well too, which is just your Delver variant.
I think a lot of people think about Pauper and they think it's commons only and it's kind of, just like a joke of a format, but Pauper has very high level of gameplay. It's a very powerful format and you can do a lot of busted things in that format.
format still to this day gets banned. Like Gush was allowed.
Right.
I think Days was allowed, but I don't know if Days allowed. Days
was banned a couple years ago.
Yeah, a bunch of cards have gotten banned just because over the life of that format, there have just been cards that have been too like toxic.
Days was like $50 online for a little while when it was in Pauper.
Yeah. Well, there was only one way to get it before. I think the last printing of Days we had was Eternal Masters or one of the Master Iconic. No, it was Eternal Masters. What is your favorite non-cube draft format?
War of the Spark.
What?
Yep, I really liked that draft format.
It's I did not like expect
getting
that.
A Planeswalker in every pack, man.
That was cool. It was cool.
And like, there's a lot of good decks. You could build your deck based off like the Planeswalker you open, and like, there's a lot of good, lot of fun stuff you could do.
Yeah, for sure. Was the Liliana that was in there? She wasn't even the best Planeswalker, I don't think.
My God, I remember I opened pack one, pick one that Liliana, and I like lost round one.
She's not even that. I mean, she's don't get me wrong, she's solid, but
right. Never even got to cast it. I lost to a stupid white god or whatever. Oketra. Oketra.
I think that was the first time that we felt Planeswalkers, like, they were awesome to, like, draft. Even the Mythic ones were. But the problem was with those Planeswalkers was there was common Planeswalker removal for, like, the first time ever. Mm-hmm. So everybody just had answers to your things. Whereas before that set, if you opened up a Planeswalker, it was basically game over in that set. Because they were just so hard to deal with.
I am pro common removal. There's a new common removal in this set that exiles a Planeswalker. It's just like Bone Splinters, only you don't get the discard a card clause. It's just sack a creature or pay four.
Yeah, it's Eaten Alive, I think it was what the name of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's got cool art.
Mm-hmm.
I think my favorite one has to be Rise of the Eldrazi. I love that set, and it's the first time... I mean, I was kind of still new to draft at that point. I was maybe playing Magic for about a year and a half. But it was the first time I think they had a bunch of different cards where you could sink your open mana into. Whereas that wasn't true for sets before that. Like, just the level up mechanic or even the Eldrazi's. You always had something to do with your mana where that didn't... I can't tell you the amount of games I've played of Limited where it's like, well, I have 7 lands and I drew a 2-drop. Okay, go.
That was like the level up guys, right?
Yeah.
The Student of Warfare.
Yep.
And what was the blue one?
Was it the Quarrelhelm Commander? Or there was a whole bunch of them in there, but those are the Quarrelhelm Commander.
Yeah, the Quarrelhelm Commander is the one I'm thinking of. Those are like cube all-stars. I drafted a lot of Zendikar. I drafted a lot of Worldwake, but I didn't draft like any Rise of the Eldrazi.
Zendikar was like when I... That's probably Zendikar and Worldwake is when I got into Magic Online. And I probably spent $300, $400 just losing draft after draft because I did not understand. That set was landfall, and I thought you could block, and you just couldn't.
No, you either were on the red-black vampire deck, or you were on the adventuring boots landfall deck.
You could do the ally deck, but that one was like, it just was so slow because people were beating up with plated geopedes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I spent a lot of money losing. And then Rise of the Eldrazi I loved just because I felt like I could... There was the Walls deck in there. There was, like, Veteran Teacher. That whole set has a lot. And then there was, like, the Eldrazi factor, even though the 15-mana Emrakul was basically... you could cast it, but it was really unlikely. But
it was cool. Back when everyone got a Emrakul at the pre-release. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. The golden days.
Yeah, man. You get the Premier Mythic that somehow people felt bad about. Like, oh, I'm sad that I opened up this Mythic that I needed a 4 of anyways, but now I only need to collect 2.
And now it's like $50.
Yeah. What is the most awesomely bad card you love to play?
Does Tarfire count?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say you don't need to play it in this day and age.
I love that card. I've been playing that for a while too.
I was trying to think of one. I just couldn't come up with one other than like I like to like from an EDH standpoint. I like to play like Sphinxes, but they're all so bad.
Oh, in EDH?
Yeah. It can be in any format, but like Tarfire is a great example because it's like, it's probably, you don't need it in this day and age, but people still play it.
I like Mana Barbs in EDH.
It's a fun one, man. It's just like, all right, guys, everybody can cast about 3 big spells before everybody's dead.
Right. It's crazy how like that card, that card's widely considered a joke, but you play it in an EDH game and all of a sudden everyone's very mad at you.
Yeah, like, oh no, I don't get to play my game. It's like weird. I mean, I could have Armageddon, but instead I played this. At least you get to have the illusion you get to play.
I didn't kill you, you killed yourself, bud.
Yeah, maybe you should get a little bit more artifacts in there.
Oh, I have the artifact one too, that at your upkeep you lose a life for each artifact you have.
What is the most, I guess, what is the most expensive card you've ever owned, and what do you currently own?
The most expensive card I ever owned was a Black Lotus.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most expensive card I currently own is Underground Sea Revised. Both of those were revised. Or the Underground Sea, or the Black Lotus was unlimited, and the Underground Sea is revised.
The most expensive card I used to own was Beta Taiga at one point, and then the one I have now is Revised Underground Sea, I think. No, it is. It is. Unless Volcanic has passed it.
No, Underground Sea is still higher than Volcanic.
Surprising. It's weird because you see Volcanic so much more.
While it's not the most expensive card I own, I think it's cooler than a Black Lotus. I did own a Tabernacle at one point.
That is pretty cool. Well, at the time that I owned let me say this. I owned a Time Twister at the time, but the time I owned it, it was only $300.
I had it. I sold an Alpha Time Twister. It was inked, though.
Oh, wow. Dude. That's insane.
I think that was actually the one. I think I sold that for more than I sold the Black Lotus. Was that all Time Twister?
What is the worst deck you've ever played? And this isn't including homebrews, because a lot of homebrews are terrible. I mean, have you ever gone to like a constructed tournament with a deck and then realized like how bad it was?
I remember one time, like, I was young, so this was Lorwyn era. I think this was actually like first time, like, or it was the Future Sight era.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what, almost 25 years ago? How long?
What, Future Sight?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's Future Sight's like 2007, because I think of 2004 as Mirrodin, and we haven't hit the 20-year mark on that yet.
I remember I hadn't played in very many Panems or anything, and I built my own very cool like mono green deck, and I showed up. Four Force of Savageries in my deck, which had like 3 mana 8/0, and I like would I casted it like once, and it was like, okay, it dies. I was like, no, I thought it has to, you have to touch it, and they're like, no, it just dies.
Yeah, what the hell. It's funny.
So that was pretty bad.
I think I copied a person's states deck, and it was Dungrove Elder, and I thought that card was like really good because it won states, and I remember taking it to FNM, and at the time, like, things changed on a week-to-week basis. They didn't change at the rate they did now. And I remember going to FNM, and everybody was already prepared for Dungrove Elder, and I was just embarrassed on how bad it was. I was like, dude, what? How did someone win states with this deck? This is an all-forest deck.
I remember that deck was good, but, like, I didn't ever felt like you were doing anything good.
No, you're like, I cast a 7/7 with, I think it was Hexproof. It had Hexproof, right? I think it did. Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking that this was going to do it, and it just was terrible.
Maybe it didn't have Hexproof. It was the other troll that had Hexproof.
No, it had Hexproof.
Okay.
It was like a star. It didn't have Trample. It was just like, you know, equal to the amount of force. I'll look it up. I remember, I think it had Hexproof. I played it, and I was like, how did anybody win this? Yep. It was 3 mana star, and it has Hexproof, and it's equal to the number of force you control.
That deck also played like Blanchwood Armor too, didn't it?
No, I don't think that was legal, but I remember it got played with Primeval Titan for a small amount of time, because Primeval Titan is an M12, so it got played with Primeval Titan, and then you just realized that you didn't need Dungrove Elder, you just played a Primeval Titan deck.
Just played with Prime Titan.
Yeah, seriously, it's like, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah, I don't need anything else.
Yeah.
He does it all.
For sure. If there's a rule that you can get rid of in Magic, what would you get rid of?
That Mana Burn doesn't exist anymore. I would bring it back.
You want to bring back Mana Burn?
Yeah, I would.
That's fair. There's no punishment for having excess mana. I mean, we need to have Mana Drain suck again.
Or like when I blow up your land, you're like, oh, I float mana in response, and I'm like, okay, I'll go to the next main phase, I guess. Like, you have to like do cute stuff like that.
Sure. So, yeah.
I think Mana Burn should be back.
I'm trying to think of a rule that I don't like.
I know a lot of people don't like the mulligan rule.
That's a good one, but that's like not gameplay related. I mean, it has some gameplay aspects to it. I didn't think this one out. I just wrote it down. I was like, huh, maybe I'll bounce off what you guys had. I can't think of a rule that I don't like. I mean, I know a rule that I don't like that they already got rid of, which was damage on the stack. I thought that was the dumbest rule ever. It made no sense.
I never played with damage on the stack. I was playing Magic wrong when damage was on the stack. So like,
yeah.
I never lived in a world where it wasn't on, where it didn't use the stack.
Yeah, I think M10 was the change that happened on, and I remember guys crying about Mog Fanatic not being good anymore because you couldn't block with damage on the stack and then sack it. You just had to do, you know, and then they eventually made like a version. Yeah, exactly. Those are the cards. So the standard decks were built around damage on the stack, and now those don't exist anymore. Like, I have a old Magic book of like 4th edition, and it looks like a chapter book, if you will. And then the way you look at it, it tells you all the rules of Magic. And one of the old rules of Magic, you didn't die until the end of your turn. Oh, I don't know if you knew that.
I did remember that.
So you could, there was a card that literally just tapped in game. It was like Fountain of Youth, maybe. It's an old, you know, revised card or unlimited card, whatever you want to call it. You just tapped it and you gained one life. And that was like heavily playable in Standard, or there was no types, I guess. It was heavily playable because you could just go, all right, I'm at 0. I think you couldn't go below 0. You had to go just to 0, and you could tap and gain one life at the end of your turn. So you couldn't die until your opponent got rid of that card or was able to kill you after you gained the life.
I am glad that the rules are pretty throughput now. You get the occasional one where a mechanic does something stupid like Cascade or whatever, but the game is pretty much like hard written now.
Yeah. There's really, the only thing that they could change would be to rework a mulligan rule. I mean, and then anything that they come up with, like a new mechanic, we've seen things that just have gotten like reworked, such as like Cascade, how that works now.
I would also like to see the old legend rule come back.
Yeah, I would too. I like the original one where if I played it, your opponent couldn't play one, but there's two of them on the field, they both die.
Right. Same thing with Planeswalkers. I also think that they should bring back the Planeswalker type rule, not the name rule.
And the one I'm playing, I play a 3-mana Teferi and a 5-mana Teferi, so it's like, okay, they both exist for some odd reason. I guess he would make the most sense because he's the time mage. Everybody but Teferi has to go back on the old one. Least favorite Mythic. Have you ever opened up a Mythic and was like, ugh, what is this?
Lord of Extinction? Or not, yeah. I did get mad when I opened a Lord of Extinction.
I thought that card was the coolest card. I think my brother opened that card once, and this, again, I got in during like Shards Block, and I was like, this card's how big?
Also, Jugin, the Rising Star, the green mythic dragon.
The ones when they reprinted them for the Modern Horizon sets? Yeah. Or not Horizon, Modern Masters. Yeah, those felt bad. Those stunk.
That felt very bad.
They had to have bulk mythics so the Tarmogoyf would hold. Well, I guess they don't. That's not true. They can just make all bangers and people will just buy.
Right.
The worst mythic, I think it was Protein Hydra from M10. It even got downshifted later on in life. That one sucked because I remember all I wanted to do and the talk of the town was Baneslayer Angel. Or in my head, it was like Planeswalkers and Baneslayer Angel is basically all I wanted to open. And then I got this Protein Hydra that was just horrible. It didn't do anything.
Horrible. Tree of Perdition.
Is that the one that you can gain 13 life?
It's the bad one.
The one that switches it with an opponent?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's a bad one. That one gets a little bit of a flavor pass with me because I like that there was a green tree that did it with your life total, and then there was a black one that did it with an opponent's life totals.
Yeah.
But
so terrible.
Yeah, it's really bad. I mean, it's a good way to like stop infinite life decks. Like, oh, you gained 54 trillion? Haha, you're at 13, dum-dum.
Nicheest of niche.
I just like, when it comes to those kind of cards, I just think of them from like an EDH perspective. And like Protein Hydra, like I don't even think Hydra decks play it because there's just way better Hydras now.
Right. Actually, I like that what they're doing with Oozes now. There's like, Oozes are the new Hydras.
I think that's cool. There's a few tribes that they need to expand a little bit more. I wonder, is Uncle Isfahan still an uncle?
I have no idea.
That's what his creature type was, uncle, back in the day. He's probably human now.
It's probably human.
Getting out of the magic questions, we're going to go into non-magic stuff. And this is kind of preferences that people have, and kind of one of the most commonly debate things. So I'll start with flats or drummies for wings, if you like wings.
I like flats.
I'm a drummy guy. Everybody loves flats. Flats are too much work. You gotta break the bone.
Right.
Or, yeah.
Drummies are good. They're, like, easy, but I like the flats just taste. I like the flavor.
Yeah. Sometimes with drummies, you get that gnarl, like, that really gnarly piece on it. Mm-hmm. And you just, it's like, oh, this is an edible, so this isn't really... Yeah, exactly. Do you like chocolate candies better or non-chocolate candies?
When I'm hungry, I like chocolate candy. When I'm, like, snacking, I like the gummy stuff.
Yeah. But if you had to pick one to be better than the other...
Probably chocolate.
The same here, man. I people love Snickers. I don't care for those. I like Reese's.
Right. I'm a sucker for both of them.
But I do like me some Sour Patch, and that's when I go to the fruity stuff. But really, I can't tell you the last time I bought a bag of Skittles.
Right. I can't either.
I can tell you the amount of times I've gone into a gas station and bought a chocolate bar on my way out.
I can tell you I've bought an M&M's recently in the past week.
Yeah, dude, those are the best. Peanut?
Oh, yeah. Because that's what we have at work. But
I don't think anybody eats regular M&Ms, and I've never been offered. If I go into someone's house and they just have regular M&Ms, I'm going to look at them funny. Unless it's for an event, because then they only come regular.
Or, trick or treat. It's you got the bag of whatever.
Yeah. Ooh. Favorite video game? And this one can be magic related, but I would like if you picked a non-magic one.
That's kind of hard.
Give it to me in eras. Do you have a favorite retro one? Do you have a favorite current one?
I would probably just say Zelda is probably my favorite video game series.
Yeah. I mean, have you played every single one?
Yeah.
The Game Boy ones?
Besides Skyward Sword, which I'm playing through now with the reworked controls to make the game playable, which is a lie. But,
yeah, is that so?
Yeah, I'm not liking it. But I'm gonna get through it because Zelda's it's got a place in my heart.
There's two that I have fond memories of. One is Warcraft 3, and not because of the Warcraft 3 aspect, is the custom games were so awesome in that game. I think that's opened my eyes to what games could be. And then if it was retro, I love Mike Tyson's Punch Out. I love that game so much.
I love that game too.
To this game, I still haven't beat Mike Tyson. I haven't put, I've gotten really close, and I've tried doing, you put the code in and try to beat him, I just couldn't do it, and I always got too frustrated, and I would put it down for too long of a time and come back and just have no way to beat him.
You gotta, get that combo. You can't let him touch you.
Yeah, I know. It's tough, dude. Super Macho Man and is not so hard, but Mike Tyson, just because it's a one and done. He does the uppercut.
It's cheating.
Yeah. And then last question for today is going to be, do you have any TCGs that are not magic related? Do you have any favorite ones of those?
Magic normally absorbs most of my money and stuff on Magic the Gathering or on trading card games a hobby. However, I did get into Pokemon a while back, TCGO online, because it's free.
Yeah.
And it plays the same as it did when I was a kid. And I played Pokemon before I got into Magic. Pokemon was my... doorway into Magic, so to speak, and the gameplay is still fun. I had a lot of fun playing just the free stuff, and I eventually got to enough stuff to play a good deck and play on the ladder on Pokemon Go or Pokemon Online.
Yeah, Pokemon, I did play that online, and I got back into it for a little stint, and I love that they have, this is something that Magic will never do, but I love the, you buy a pack and you can redeem a pack online. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world.
I definitely got into that a little bit when I was playing it a while back, and I was I have to stop buying money. I have to stop buying
these. Yeah. Did you ever play the WoW TCG? That one's my favorite, and I played that before I got into Magic, and the only reason I got into Magic is because I was trying to buy WoW TCG cards from the nearest game shop, and I stumbled into an FNM, and I was like, there's how many people here? Yeah, I want to do this from now on. Did you ever play that game?
I never played it. I had a buddy who got into it, but I never ventured into it. I played WoW for the first time ever, in April.
Yeah.
I only played for a week or whatever, and then I was done with it. It's very hard for me to play video games nowadays.
Well, that one is so time consuming, and it's more to some people, it's kind of like a job, but I mean, there's different ways to play every single game, right?
Right.
Yeah, I've tried so many different ones. The only one I haven't tried yet is Flesh and Blood. And there's a guy at our local shop that I feel bad. I was supposed to He was supposed to teach me, but I O2'd at that F&M, so I was salt. I didn't want to talk to anyone.
Right.
I should have just played with them, but yeah. That one I want to try because that one's kind of getting big. I've played Pokemon. I played Yu-Gi-Oh. I played Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh at a competitive level. I tried to play WoW at a competitive level, couldn't find it. And then I've tried like four other... me and JB played the Adventure Time Card Wars. That was pretty fun.
I didn't know there was an Adventure Time one.
It's not a TCG, it's a CCG. But if you buy a sealed box of it, you get one of every card, and then or one of every rare, two of every like uncommon, and then four of every whatever. And the only thing that's a little bit different is you can get foils randomly of cards. You can end up with like two copies. But it's if you buy four boxes of the sealed product of like base set one, you'll have the entire thing. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Does Gwent count?
Gwent does count. I mean, have you ever played like all those Final Fantasy? Do you ever play the Final Fantasy VIII card game? Physical one in the game?
In Final Fantasy VIII, I played the heck out of it.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was. Same thing with Gwent. I played a lot of Gwent when I played Witcher 3, which is also in my top video games of all time.
People always suggest that to me, and people have suggested for me to play Dark Souls, and those kind of games I'm not into.
I don't like those games.
Yeah, they're too intense, and just the reward factor of like, oh, I beat this insanely difficult game is just not that fun. Maybe that's why I beat Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Right, it's not worth the stress.
All right, man, we're going to call that a cast. As always, you can find us on Facebook, and we're on Twitter. Always feel free to send us emails at thepaperplayerpodcast@gmail.com, and join us on Discord and talk to us, guys.
Awesome. It is Wednesday, my dudes. Go Pack, go.
Bada boom, bada bang. See ya. Did you have more than one AOL name? I went through like five of them.
I had one for a very long time. Acid Skater 89.
My first name was Cool, spelled with a K, _ Kid, _333. That was my first one. It's the lamest thing ever.
Right. It's just like Acid Skater 89. It was like SK8R.
Just so lame. And then I started writing blind boards. So I went with Blind Boards Own. Like, so lame. It was like maximum characters. And then my last one that was still on there was Mr. Kalopbot. And then after that, that was the end of it. I just remember a lot of my profiles was just lyrics to songs in like hot pink and a black background. So lame.
Same.
Pioneer is probably weak.
I wonder if that.
It's a